The following sermon was delivered by Senior Pastor Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston.
This morning, as we prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday and as we celebrate Pledge Sunday, our attention turns to Psalm 136, a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 136 employs a refrain at the close of every verse, "For God's steadfast love endures forever." Basically, it's a call and response prayer. A cantor calls and a congregation responds. So let's do that today. Let's read it together. I'll read the part marked one if you would respond with the parts marked all. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for God's steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for God's steadfast love endures forever. The moons and stars to rule over the night, for God's steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for God's steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. In a recent study on global mental health, Sapien Labs, a nonprofit think tank, released a list of the top 10 most miserable countries in the world. One of the countries earning a spot among the top 10 most miserable was Ireland. Now, when the list was announced, Irish singer and comedian Garen Noone quickly put out a video in which he made, on behalf of his country, an acceptance speech. "We are very happy to receive this award. We've been trying our best, and it's great to see our work being recognized." Noone went on, "It's not so much that we're all miserable, it's that being happy in Ireland is considered to be downright rude. If you're having a conversation in Ireland, your goal is to find something that you can both complain about as quick as possible." I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that the Irish are not the only citizens on planet Earth who bond over a good complaint. New Yorkers, if you read our tabloids, know a thing or two about complaining. It's how we problem solve, or at least it's how we commiserate. Comedians get this. Jerry Seinfeld once described his entire approach to comedy as being a series of complaints. Do you know what I find annoying? Here's something that's totally messed up. And then we laugh along. To be human is to complain. And this may explain why complaining plays a role in the life of faith. The good book is stuffed with complaints. Check out the book of Exodus. The Hebrew people complain all the time about the harsh conditions in the wilderness. And then Moses takes these complaints and passes them along to God. And then God turns right around and complains to Moses about the ungrateful people. Almost half the book of Psalms are complaints, psalms of lament. And laments are basically poetic grumbles aimed at heaven's inbox. Why is my life so hard? My God, why have you forsaken me? Many believers find the raw honesty of the laments to be a breath of fresh air. We sense kindred spirits in these ancient protests. Ironically, the Psalms that pose the most difficulty for contemporary people are not the laments. The prayers that give us pause are like today's text, Psalm 136, Psalms of Thanksgiving and Praise. The more joyful the psalm, the more cringy it can feel. Why? Well, it could be that we've had our fill of fake positivity. Maybe we're sick and tired of morning talk show cheeriness and every other form of feigned happiness. Or maybe, like Garen Noon, we're simply trying to be sensitive. We know people who are struggling. In the presence of life's trials and travail, who wants to hear God's steadfast love endures forever on repeat? Begging the question, does Psalm 136 come across as being downright rude? Or worse? A few weeks ago, I ended a sermon with the words, God's got this. Actually, I said, God's got this, and we have work to do. One of you reached out to Werner and asked, what does Scott mean? I mean, I'm worried about the world. I don't feel like God's got this. And I hear this fellow's concern. Did the preacher just serve us a spiritual Twinkie? Does the church trade in sugary rhetoric that pales in the face of real-world problems? Our faith appreciates these kind of questions. And Scripture acknowledges people's deep thirst for words that are trustworthy and true. It gives us laments, but it also gives us texts like Psalm 136. It invites us to say over and over, God's got this. God's steadfast love endures forever. Why? Why do we have texts like this? In 1913, Eleanor Porter wrote a book that would become a classic in children's literature. It was entitled Pollyanna. The main character, Pollyanna, is an 11-year-old orphan who lives with her stern aunt. The story follows Pollyanna as she navigates life's difficulties, disappointments, and sorrows. And she does this by playing the glad game, a mental exercise that she learned from her deceased father. The rules of the game go like this. Whenever Pollyanna would find herself in tough circumstances, she would look for something to be glad about. Porter's novel hit the shelves at a propitious time. In 1914, Americans were increasingly worried about a brutal war waging in Europe. Faced with a deluge of grim news from overseas, Americans welcomed Pollyanna's positive spirit. Glad clubs popped up all over this country. The 11-year-old with the cheery disposition became a national role model. It didn't last. Over time, people soured on Pollyanna. As the decades rolled by, as an even bigger war claimed millions of lives, Americans' view of the world darkened, and Pollyanna looked more and more naive. Today, to call someone a Pollyanna suggests that they're a merry chump, a dreamer unwilling to face the harsh turns of reality. Is this fair? Well, we have to ask, did Pollyanna peddle false hopes? Did she pass out placebos instead of actual solutions? Was she a merry chump? Not really. Not in the book, anyway. Pollyanna saw broken pieces in her world. She gazed into the dull eyes of her neighbors, and she realized that many people have concluded that life is a bleak and largely awful experience. And then, instead of sticking her head in the sand, Pollyanna offered these despondent souls a fresh perspective. Pollyanna wasn't a chump. She was a contrarian. Our faith walks this same path. It looks at a harsh world, and it dares tell a different story. Take Psalm 136. Today's psalm lists all sorts of milestone events. It highlights grand moments like the creation of the stars, the scary moments like the presence of enemies, and just plain ordinary moments like setting a plate of food down on a dinner table. In every circumstance, no matter what's happening, the psalm calls for the same response. God's steadfast love endures forever. Good things happen. God's steadfast love endures forever. Bad things happen. God's steadfast love endures forever. Worrisome things happen. God's steadfast love endures forever. Beautiful things happen. God's steadfast love endures forever. What's going on here? Let's start with the repetition. Clearly, Psalm 136 wants to drum a specific truth home. It wants to anchor us in faith's most basic claim. Come what may, God will stand with you. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what mile marker you see up ahead, you can trust in this one thing. God's steadfast love endures forever. The cadence of the psalm works to tattoo these words on our hearts. The psalmist wants to hot glue them to our souls. No matter where you go, no matter what storms shake your boat, the psalm wants you to hear this simple refrain in your head. God's steadfast love endures forever. In a world that would woo us with fake positivity, assail us with manufactured rage, and always tries to motivate us with fear, the repetitive gratitude of Psalm 136 can wash over us like a healing balm. Its words feel true in a way that so many other words do not. God's steadfast love endures. It will surround you. It will forgive you. It will empower you. It will never let you go. God's steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136 is convinced that these words, more than any others, should shape our days. It thinks that this creed is capable of sustaining you in every moment of life. It is testimony that can be a compass guiding your steps. This truth is bedrock for the living of these days. Bind it to your heart, says the psalm. Write it on your hand. Repeat it 10 times a day. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. For God's steadfast love endures forever. Good people, I've come to believe that these are the truest words I know. Why do I say that? Fair question. Good question. Honest question. And I want to honor this question by saying something more than Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Although I have to admit, that's part of it. Throughout my life, others have taught me about the persistent love of God. A legion of Sunday school teachers, clergy, grandparents, professors, friends, and colleagues have told me stories, so many stories. And this is what the faithful do. This is the mission of the church on our best days, which are sometimes the world's worst days. We testify to a truth that orients our lives. God's steadfast love endures forever. Now, friends, I'm still on this journey. I still have a lot to learn about the depth and breadth of God's love, but I do want to testify to one thing this morning. These words, the words of Psalm 136, have changed me. They still change me. When I manage to lean on these words, which isn't all the time, but when I manage to lean on these words, a surprising peace takes root in my soul. A peace in which every other concern falls into its proper place. In his poem, The Peace of Wild Things, Wendell Berry describes feeling despair at the state of the world. Anxious and glum, he walks to the edge of a pond where a great heron feeds. And he writes, "I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief." In reading Psalm 136, in giving thanks for life's blessing, in repeating God's steadfast love endures forever, we are invited to worry less, to stop practicing forethought of grief, and instead step into the arms of peace. And there, suddenly, we are free. Free to think about what a life lived under the umbrella of God's love looks like. And this brings me to another deep truth that comes from repeating God's steadfast love endures forever. It helps us to see. My friends, every day in this church, I witness congregation members, staff members, choir members. I witness people walking and living to the drumbeat of Psalm 136. One example of many. Not too long ago, a guest at our midday meal program, a place at the table, which takes place right out here on 55th Street. Not too long ago, one of our guests was in some distress. He'd been issued a $100 ticket for jumping a subway turnstile. A member of Team FAPC listened to the man vent. He admitted to jumping the turnstile, but he described the whole situation as unfair. And at this point, it would have been easy to shrug and say, "Listen, buddy, you did the crime, pay the fine." But this being the church, naive chumps that we are, our team kept listening. The man explained that he could not see to refill his card, and nobody in the station would assist him. His description of not being able to see raised a flag, and so we made an appointment for him to see an ophthalmologist. When the report came back, it told a story. The poor fellow's vision was so bad that he qualified as being legally blind. And again, this church, your church, went to work. We purchased a special pair of glasses for our friend. He wears them today proudly, and he wants all of you to know that he is so thankful. In a few minutes, we will engage in our annual pledge parade. We'll commit ourselves and our finances to making church happen here for another year. We'll commit to funding heart-stirring music, thoughtful programs for our children, live-streaming worship, and life-changing ministries like A Place at the Table. More broadly, we will commit ourselves to a contrarian vision. God's steadfast love endures forever. This, of course, is the testimony of our faith. And this is the challenge issued by this psalm. Sing these words to the world. Chortle these words when a friend shares good news with you. Pray these words when bad news comes calling. Whisper these words when smoothing the hair of your beloved, while washing your children's feet, while looking at old photos on your dresser. Cling to these words when you're afraid. Be inspired by these words when faced with human need. God's steadfast love endures forever. Amid all the fear and anger and just plain silliness out there, these words tell a contrarian story, a story big enough to build your life around. God is faithful. God's love will not stop. God has always got this. Hear now the benediction. People of faith, may God grant you travelers' mercies this week. Be safe. Be kind. Enjoy your feast. Celebrate God's steadfast love, and then share it with a world in need. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.